Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Father, I thank you. Father, I ask you to anoint me tonight. God, let me preach, Lord, from my spirit, Lord, that you have anointed. Father, let me say the words that we need to hear tonight. God, I know that I've heard from you. God, let us be received tonight. Lord, I thank you for it. Devil, I bind every demon, every imp from hell that would try to hinder a move of God. I put my foot on your throat and I release the Holy Ghost in this house. God, this is spirit night. Let your spirit fall down. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Have your way in Jesus' name. And all the church said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. It's been good to have been with you guys today in service. And I believe that the Florida stuff that I've been breathing in and yelling at you guys today. I'm sorry I yelled at you guys for a couple of services, but it's been wonderful to be with you. Pastor Ronnie, Sherry Reed, you guys have been amazing. They have fed me. I know I've gained 5 pounds. They don't let me go a moment. Sherry made some yum-yum. Y'all know what yum-yum is, huh? Do you believe it's anointed? If you believe it's anointed, just wave your hand like this. It is anointed, without a doubt. Thank you. I just love you guys. Tracy, my Lord in heaven. Girl, it seemed like yesterday you were living just down the road from me and at the church there. And it seems like just yesterday you gave your heart to the Lord. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm honored for you to be here. Lou, Jill. Come on now, up there singing and worshiping. I know y'all are used to it, but I'm not used to it. I love it. I just sit there, and I had one eye on Jesus and one eye on them. You know, it's been an honor to be here. Worship team, again, you've done a phenomenal job. But I've got a word for you tonight. Are you ready for it? I want to preach a message entitled A Wind from Elsewhere. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. You should know this well, and it's Spirit Night, so we should talk about the Holy Spirit some, and I promise that we will. I believe God's going to do something. I'm going to take a different approach tonight in preaching. That doesn't mean... In fact, who wants to hear another good story about Pastor Ronnie Reed? Raise your hand. I mean, no, it's better. If you want to hear a good story, let me hear. You want to hear? Okay, I'll tell you if you amen me during church. I'll tell you after church. Yeah, you ain't getting me twice. Really all the good stories I know about him. He's always been saved. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Are you there? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there's that word, somebody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled. Somebody say all filled. With the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be talking about in John chapter 10, verse number 27, Jesus simply said that my sheep know my voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. And I want to say tonight that I really believe with all of my heart that I realize that the church pastor has issues. I understand that every church except for this church has gossip. I understand that every church except for this church has people that are bitter or angry or frustrating. And I understand it's every church but this church. And I know the church has some issues and some things going on within it. But I believe that all of the things that are going on that we've just named, that there are some things wrong with the church. But I believe this, that the number one problem that we have in the church, and I know you're going to think affairs, I know you're going to think of all the big stuff. I think the number one problem in the church across America is we have lost the ability to hear and distinguish the voice of God. Shout amen or oh me if you'd like to. But I want to tell you that there may be times that you can't get to pastor. There may be times when you can't get him on the phone. You can't get one of the ministers of the church to hear God and give you a word from God. What do you do when you're on your own and you can't reach anybody and all hell breaks loose against you and it's in your life and you've got to have direction? You better have an ability to hear the voice of God. I believe that's one of the biggest issues is we can't hear God like we used to hear him. Now, I believe it's a lot because we're so distracted. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, we go into prayer time and we get our great coffee mug and we set it just right. And then all of a sudden we have to take a picture of us and the mug and say, click, holy time. You know it's true. prayer time with Jesus, you know, and you got that, you're looking just right where everything's looking good. I believe we are so distracted by the things that are going on. It's not bad things necessarily, but anything that distracts you away from God, from the voice of God, I believe it's a culture of our generation. But I'm declaring and I'm praying tonight that we'll get an ear to hear the voice of God. I know we talked about it some today, but we've got to develop an ear to hear the voice of God. We talked about it today, Elijah. We talked about how he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. If you can't hear the prophetic things, how in the world will you know when God speaks to you? But I've learned this, that in our walk with God, we go through a couple of stages. We go through when we're first saved, we go through the lamb stage. Right? You believe that? Shout amen. And we go in that lamb stage for a little while, and then we step into the sheep stage. You know, the lamb stage is when you're immature in Christ. When you first, I mean, you first give your heart to Him, and I mean everything, you love the touch of God. You see, in the lamb stage, that's what you recognize. It's like a baby knows a mama's touch. That baby knows when that mom picks it up. That baby knows, and nothing will soothe that baby crying except for that mama to hold that baby close. That's what it's like. When you first get saved, you'll feel often the touch of God. You'll feel Him pick you up and hold you in a worship service like this morning and tonight. When He wraps His arms around you, that's because that we feel the touch of God, and I thank the Lord that we can still feel the touch of God. But I'm saying to you that something happens after you've been serving God for a little while is you move from the lamb stage to the sheep stage. But too many of us want to stay in the lamb stage where all we feel are the doodaddies, the shout, and there's nothing wrong with feeling the touch of God. But we've got to step into the next stage where is the sheep, where we step into hearing the voice of God. You see, we say, well, when you're in the lamb stage for too long, when you're in that immature stage, that baby stage for so long, that you've got to feel God. Listen to me, there are going to be times in your life that you walk through a valley that you don't even feel God's presence. There are days I wake up that I don't feel God. There are days I wake up, I don't even feel saved, Brother Dennis. There are days I wake up, I'll be honest with you, that I don't feel like I've ever been born again. But I don't go by how I feel. I go by the fact that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again. And so we have to step in from the lamb stage to the sheep stage. I'm not saying you won't ever feel the touch of God, but I'm saying that when you step into the sheep stage and you come into the house of God, and God will speak a word to you, maybe at home. Maybe God will speak to you when you get in His house. Maybe God will speak, but when you step into that stage and you come to church, if you're not careful, you'll become bored with church. When you're in that lamb stage too long, you'll become bored with church. The pastor will preach, and you're like, I just didn't get anything out of that tonight. The worship team will bring the good stuff, and you'll just be like, well, it was okay, but you know, I just don't feel God. I just don't feel God like I used to feel God. Have you ever heard that before? I just don't feel the touch of God on my life. It's not a bad thing. It's a compliment. God is saying that I brought you from the lamb stage to the sheep stage. Used to, you could only feel my touch. Now I want to speak a word to you. I want to give you direction, because if you always go on emotion, I'm talking to somebody right now. If you only go by emotion, there'll come times that the enemy will attack your emotions and you'll be sick in body. But if I can hear a word from God, if I can get a word from God, if I can get that right now moment that God will speak to me, I'm telling you, the shout is good, but a word is always better. Shout amen. God is saying, I need to talk to you. He said, my sheep know my voice. I need to talk to you. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice, not the knock. Come on, I feel this so strong. Not the knock. If anyone hears my voice, anybody can hear the knock and say, hey, somebody's at the door. You better be careful. You better wait and know that you hear the voice of God. If I can tell any young person in here waiting to find that spouse, the one that God has for you, your rib, I'm saying that there's going to be a lot of people come knocking at your door. There's going to be a lot of people that are not of God to come knocking. Just because they show up doesn't mean they are for you. Just because they knock, you better wait and know that you hear the voice of God, because opportunities are going to knock at your door. Business is going to knock at your door. You better know and wait to hear God's voice before you move, because if you open that door, you could let a whole lot of hell into your life. You better know without a doubt that you hear the voice of God. I see so many people, Pastor, get into trouble because opportunity knocks. Pastor, I've got an opportunity that I can make $20,000 more a year, but did God tell you it's His will? Pastor, I've got an opportunity to step into this new place and get a new car, but can you afford it? Did you hear God's voice? Did God speak to you? Did God say something to you? Because it's not the knock. It doesn't take a spiritual giant to say somebody's at the door, but it takes somebody who's been walking with God for a little while to say, I hear your voice and I know your voice. A lot of things are going to knock in your life. A lot of things are going to come knocking, but wait to hear. I'm telling somebody right now, I know that it's a different message. And I asked Sister Sherry sitting there, I said, do you think that it'd be okay if I teach a little bit tonight? We've got to get to the place that we, now I'm not saying you won't ever shout again. I love the shout. I almost did the nay-nay and the whip tonight. I was trying not to. I love the shout. I like to get excited about God. Hey, I'm telling you, it's almost there. I was like, I tried to play it off like I was sneezing, you know, but I'm saying that we have to get there in our walk with God. I love the shout, but you've got to get to the place that you can get quiet and say, God, speak to me. God, tell me something. God, direct me. We have to know His voice. If anybody believes that, shout amen. We look at Elijah that we talked about this morning, and as Elijah prayed and the rains came, and the next thing that happened is Elijah ran down the mountain. Now that doesn't seem to, you know, it's easy to run down a mountain. The thing about that is he outran the king's horse and the king's chariot for 19.2 miles. Come on now. For 19.2 miles, he outran the king's horse and the king's chariot. The only problem with that is he ran before he heard the voice of God. God, I'm preaching to somebody out of urgency tonight. He ran. He was anointed. Absolutely. He had just called fire down from heaven. He had just seen the rainfall again. But listen to me. God didn't speak to him every other occasion. You would hear the Bible would say, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, go thee to Zarephath. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, get thee up. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, show yourself to the king. But this time the Bible says that when he got his miracle, he took off running down that mountain. But God never spoke to him. But watch this. If you, just because you're anointed doesn't mean you need to go. Oh, I feel this so strong. So he runs down the mountain and he gets down there. Watch this. When you don't hear God's voice, somebody else's voice is going to always show up. When you don't hear God's voice, somebody else is always going to speak. And if you'll notice, when Elijah got to the bottom of that hill after he ran, he should have just waited on God. I'm sure God would have said, I've got other instructions for you. He got ahead of God. And if you'll notice and study out his life, the last major thing that he ever did was that moment. The last thing he ever did, yes, he went and anointed the others to take his place. But I'm saying to the church, we've got to wait on God. You know, I know the shout is great. I know we like to run, but we've got to hear God when he speaks. And when Elijah gets to the bottom of the hill, Jezebel says, what's up, bro? Well, probably not exactly like that. She says, I hear that you made my husband look bad. I hear that you killed all my prophets. She said, about this time tomorrow, I'm going to make you as one of them. She made a threat against him. She didn't have an army. She didn't have an assassin available. She didn't have someone. All she had was empty, idle words. What happened? He left before he heard God speak. Help me. And it sent him into a depression. I'm saying that we've got to develop an ear that we hear God. You've got to develop an ear that you hear God. You've got to develop an ear that you say, God, I'm not moving until you tell me to go. God, I'm not going anywhere until you speak to me. God, I'm going to stay planted. Too many people are chasing this down and chasing that down. You've got to learn to stay until God says to move. If you believe that, shout amen. Mm. And I believe that there's that haze that has come even into the church that Elijah jumped up and Elijah ran down the hill. And there's nothing wrong with running down the hill and getting excited, but you better hear from God. But I feel like that there's a haze kind of like that has come across the church, almost a smog, pastor, and probably maybe not here, but man, it's really bad at home in Louisiana and different churches. It's kind of like the church is just walking around and we don't really hear any definite, distinct word from God. It's kind of like the churches, they're just kind of, you know, going around. It's kind of like indifference has settled in and apathy has settled in, and we're distracted on this side and on that side. And you know, I've been really frustrated with it. And I've talked to some pastor friends of mine, and they said, well, you just got to accept this is the way the church is going. And I said, God never spoke that in His word. God never spoke that we're just going to kind of be lethargic and walk around. He said, this is His church. He said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so I see this going on, though, and I've learned that there's a very thin line between the prophetic and the pathetic. Let that sink in for a moment. And we have a day just like this, and globally as a nation and as a church, we're walking around in that fog. And I've been praying. I've been just sincerely seeking God and saying, God, how in the world are we going to get rid of this fog, this haze that's kind of like across the body of Christ that we've accepted, come what may, just whatever will be, you know, it's just the tomorrow of the church. It's the way it's going to be like this. I just don't believe that. And so I've been praying, and I found something to illustrate this. I found an article that in Los Angeles, when they really had problems with all the smog, and they called in a professional and they paid him millions and millions of dollars. He took 3 years to study the smog, the situation with the smog and the pollution. He studied this and it cost him millions of dollars. He finally got all of his information gathered. Pastor, he called them into that room, the council, the mayor, and all the governor, and he said, you know what? I'm sorry to tell you this, but there is no answer to your pollution problem. You paid us millions of dollars, but we have no answer. And they said, what do you mean there's no answer? What do you mean that he said, well, he laughed. He said, the only thing that's going to help your pollution problem is a wind from elsewhere to blow into this city and blow out all of the pollution that's caused by the citizens of this city. And that's exactly what I want to say to you tonight. I believe that we've got to be careful that we can't allow this haze, that we have a fog that we're walking around in, that we're just kind of settling for whatever will be. I'm saying tonight that what the church needs is a wind from elsewhere. What I'm talking about tonight is what we read in Acts chapter 2, where it says, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all gathered together in one accord, and there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I said there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It was a wind from elsewhere that blew into that upper room. I've got to tell somebody that the same wind of the Holy Ghost is still blowing today. The same wind of the Holy Ghost is still available for you and for me today. We've just got to say, Lord, do it one more time. Lord, do it one more time. Can you say that with me right now? Lord, do it one more time. I believe that probably 80% of the church is struggling really, but just because we just need a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. We want to call it issues. We want to call it everything else. I want to say that we need a fresh infilling. We need a wind from elsewhere. We need a wind of the Holy Spirit to blow anew in the house of God, even in our homes. See, in the Old Testament, when it ended, God had stopped speaking to the church for 600 years. Simply, people lived and simply people died. There were no books written. There was no prophet. No pages of the Bible were written for 600 years. Why? Because the pollution of the people in the church, in the tabernacle of that day, had become just so overtaken with the pollution. Their worship had become polluted. They were sacrifices were polluted. They were going and they were buying used sacrifices that were offered to other gods, and they were getting them at a discount price and bring them into the holy tabernacle of the Most High God. They were going into a temple that no longer had, it still had the Holy of Holies, but it didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't have the power of God. And I feel like so many times, maybe not this church for sure, because I know your leader, but individually as people, as men and women of God, I feel like so many times we go through the motion and we go through the ritual and we come in and we just kind of give God a cheapened praise. We kind of give God a cheapened worship. We're still waving our hands. We're still jumping. But what are we waving our hands? What are we jumping about? Are we doing it so that we can make Pastor Dennis, our brother Dennis rather, get excited? Are we doing it because Pastor expects us to worship? I'm saying that we've got to keep our worship pure, because if you don't have a pure worship, God will stop speaking to you. If you're offering God stuff, and while you're doing this in church, I'm not beating up on anybody. A lot of our kids will tweet in church, but a lot of times we're spending so much time and checking Facebook statuses when we should be worshiping God. We're spending so much time tweeting, and I know some of you are getting mad right now. Let me give you a hashtag. Hashtag, I don't care. It's just got to get to a place where we make up our mind that we say, God, when I come into your presence, God, when I come into your glory, I'm not going to give you a cheap and praise and worship. I'm going to give you my complete attention. I'm going to worship you, for you are the Lord Most High God. Lord, let a wind from elsewhere blow in our lives today, Father. I declare it. I decree it, Father. I speak into this house that a wind from elsewhere, Jesus. See, it's almost like there's no solution to the problem except the Holy Spirit blow one more time. I was talking to Pastor over the weekend. Man, we used to have church. I'm not saying we don't anymore. I mean, we have church at Grace Point. You guys have church at Crystal River, no doubt. But I'm going to tell you something. We're becoming a thing of the past. Crystal River Church of God, listen to me. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your desire for God. I'm telling you, I was remembering those moments. We used to, after church, we'd jump on the instruments and we'd begin to play. And, man, we had a blast. We'd have worship services break out after church had already took place. God, and I'm afraid that we have gotten, and not this church, but I'm saying the church globally, I'm saying that the church, that we have gotten to the place where we have bigger buildings and more people, and we have all of this, but I'm afraid that in a lot of cases, that we have decided to relegate the Holy Spirit to some other room. We have decided that if somebody needs the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow the pollution out of their life, that we don't want to upset anybody, pastor. So a lot of my friends that I know that are pastors, they'll relegate them to a back room and say, well, we don't want visitors to think that we are inconclusive. We don't want visitors to think that we are wild and crazy. That's the reason I love the fact that you have a pastor and a worship team that lets the Holy Ghost move. I love the fact that you dance and the flags wave it and worshiping God. I love that because what you're saying is I don't care about what you think about my worship. What I care is what he thinks about my worship and letting the Holy Spirit move. But I'm afraid that we've gotten to a place, and I really believe that's a lot of the issue of in America today, is the church has just allowed things to go on and go on and go on. It's time to let the Holy Spirit blow in our services one more time. God help me. I really feel it so strongly. Musicians, you can go ahead and come. Please, if you will. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive to the people that you are seeking. I submit myself to you. But when we give more homage and we bow our knee more to men, then we do the power of an awesome and a mighty God. When we give somebody and say, well, I don't want to offend you, I feel like I hear God saying the church has offended me. I feel like he's saying that it's my house. Steve, I'll be honest with you. If you came to my house and you told me, you said, you're not going to eat that in this house, I'd be like, all right. If you said, you're not going to have Doritos in this house anymore, I'd be like, bro, I appreciate your opinion, but this is my house. I bought this house. I paid for this house. You can't tell me what to do in my house. And I feel like that's what God is saying to us tonight. That he bought this place. I know you paid the note on it, but he paid the price. And he gave his son on Calvary. They nailed him to a tree. And on the third day, yeah, he got up, but he paid the price. How in the world can we say to God that, you know what, I'm going to do it my way? We've got to get to the place and we say, God, it's all about you one more time. Let a wind from elsewhere, God, begin to blow in our churches one more time, Father. We've got to hear the voice of God. I've noticed that a lot of times the Holy Spirit winds begin to blow in a service and there'll be a prophetic voice to speak. I've noticed a lot of times the wind of the Holy Spirit begin to blow in a service, that the unction of the Holy Spirit will begin to give men words or begin to speak words to you. I'm saying that we cannot, this is Spirit Night, we cannot lose a moving of the Holy Spirit. I know your pastor will not let it happen corporately, but I'm talking to you personally. I'm talking about in your home. When's the last time that your baby said, Daddy or Mom, I'm sick, and before you went to the medicine cabinet, you went to Calvary? There's nothing wrong with medicine. But I'm saying I love the fact that my babies, before they'll go to the medicine cabinet, they'll come and say, Dad, will you pray for me? My head's hurting. I thank God for that. And I'm not even half the father that Pastor Ronnie is. I mean, come on, man. The proof is in the pudding. I didn't mean to call you guys pudding. It's a good nickname, though. Pudding. Pudding. But I'm saying this. I thank God for that. But I'm saying, once again, we need the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow. I love that you can feel the presence of God, but when's the last time you heard him speak to you? When's the last time you heard a word from God that gave you direction for your family? When's the last time you heard a direction from God that you said, you know what, I'm not climbing the corporate ladder, I'm kneeling at Calvary first? There's nothing wrong with being blessed. I want to be blessed, and I am blessed, good Lord in heaven. But I'm saying that when that wind blows the pollutions and we get that haze gets out of the way and we can see clearly, we'll realize what it's all about, because Paul said, if I gain the whole world and lose my soul, what has it profited me? Will you stand to your feet and begin to worship the Lord for a moment?
Can you hear the voice of the Father inviting you to walk on the water, risk it all?
Come on, say that.
Answer the call and enter in.
Come on, say it again.
Can you hear The voice of the Father inviting you.
Yeah, yeah.
To walk on the water, risk it all, answer the call, and enter in.
I want to ask how many in this place tonight want to say, you know what, I love when God wraps his arms around me, but I need to hear a word from God. John, I need to hear from God tonight. Anybody want to lift your hand and say, I need to hear a word from God? If you need a specific word from God tonight, I want you to come move quickly down the aisles. I want you to get in these altars, and I want you to say, God, I need a word. I need to hear from you. And we're going to ask, and I'm going to ask the prayer team and whoever helps pray, and I want to come by and lay hands on you, and I'm asking for a wind from elsewhere. I'm asking for a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow into this place, that we say, Lord, I love to feel your touch, but I need to hear a word. I love to feel you wrap your arms around me, but I need a word from God. As they begin to worship, we're going to come pray for you. But you go ahead and begin to worship God. You go ahead and begin to lift your hands and begin to give him praise. Come on, lift him up and begin to worship, for he's good.
Can you hear the voice of the Father inviting you to walk on the water, risk it all, answer the call, and enter in?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.